As many people know that's listened to Sports Byline, I like reading sports books, and there's a new one that's come across my desk I want to urge you to check out. It's called Teed Off, My Life as a Player's Wife on the PGA Tour, and it's written by Sherry Daly. She is the fourth wife of John Daly, and it's a very interesting read. You know, I've read through this, Sherry, and some of the things that I've read kind of got me to smile, some got me to chuckle, some got me to raise my eyebrows. What was the motivation for writing this book?
Well, the motivation would be, I guess, really just to get the truth out. It's funny because John had the opportunity for me to not even write this book, so I hate to be like the Jose Canseco of the golf world, but he made this choice, not me. If he would have just told the truth about just the one stabbing incident at our, it's a divorce, it's mediation. When you get a divorce, you have a thing called mediation. And I agreed to sign the form or whatever it is, the papers, about saying that I would not ever talk to the media or talk about our life together if he would just simply say I did not stab him, because I think that took things a little too far. You know, I have children, and I just always want the truth to come out, and he didn't. He gave me the, you know, a funny look and just basically gave me the notion to do what I wanted to do, and maybe he thought I wouldn't get a publisher. So that's how the book started.
How hard was it for you to write? I mean, that was certainly one incident, but there were a lot of other things that happened in your lives and your marriage together. And when somebody writes this type of book and certainly talks candidly from their perspective about what happened, it could be rather painful. When you look back about what you did write, and obviously publishers want things that are going to titillate the reader and get people interested in buying the book, I mean, how comfortable were you with that?
When I sat down and read it myself, it really made me so, like, sad that I couldn't even read it hardly the second time. I had to have some friends proofread it, because when you're living that life and all those things are going on, it's a day-to-day, kind of like survival, but you don't, when you sit and read about yourself, you think, why did I stay so long? It looks really bad or worse on paper. So, I mean, it wasn't easy to write, and I hated to even have to write all those things, but, you know, I couldn't write a book with the part that he didn't stab me. That's only one chapter.
You know, the thing that surprised me as I read through the book and different things, I keep coming back to the impression this is an antipathy, and what I mean was you seem to be the opposite of everything that John was, and everything that you like is not what golf is, because you start the book out on page one saying, I hate golf. I'm serious. I've always thought golf was boring. I used to put it on the TV when I was a teenager because it made me fall asleep. If indeed you felt that way about golf, why did you think you'd even be comfortable being involved with somebody and certainly professional golf at any level?
Well, I'll tell you, it starts with the first time I went to the golf course. I went because it was a social event at Southwind. It's the neighborhood, you know, in Memphis where I lived, and all my friends were just going to the golf course, and everybody kept saying that's where they're going. There's a golf tournament, and they were having lunch at the club, and, you know, there's a Prono Putt stand. I guess that was my favorite part of it. But I really only met him the first time I went to a golf course. And, you know, when I married him, it became kind of a special thing to me because, you know, that's what he did. So it was kind of the work for me would be to follow him. And, you know, a lot of the time it was really enjoyable, especially when he played well. It was fun then to watch.
You've always had a taste for the bad guys. You even say that in the book. Was that one of the things that interested you in John? Because you certainly knew his reputation, I'm sure.
Well, I didn't know a whole lot about his reputation. What interested me about John is I thought he was the bad guy that had turned good. I kind of thought he had gotten a little older, and anything that I'd heard or about John, you know, was in the past, and, you know, I didn't realize he was going to continue to be a bad boy, or I wouldn't have married him.
You know, the good old boys are always the good old boys, aren't they?
You know, you live and you learn. I think so. I don't think people grow out of certain behavior.
You also said he was a little old, a little chubby, a little blonde, as not my usual choice of tall, dark, and handsome. I thought I was a little out of his league at the time. I felt like I was the prize, not him. And again, when I read that, I thought to myself, well, if you feel that way, why even go down the road and try to develop a relationship with somebody?
Well, that might have sounded like I was an arrogant little witch or something, but how I really meant that to come out was, you know, I felt he was an older guy, not quite my type. You know, John was very sweet. You know, he was a little plump, but, you know, I had no problem with anybody being a little plump. And it was funny because he would even tell you himself, I had a shirt that said, I love fat guys. You know, and I do like fat guys. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I always want to have a little fat on them because it makes me look small, even when I get a little chunky.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at the cover of the book, and you are just a gorgeous woman. And I think about knowing John, and I'm not trying to judge John's look or anything. I just don't see you two together. Was there something that was magical about the two of you once you two met?
You know, it really was. When I met John, he was in a really good place. He had a really just a nice charisma. You know, everybody loved him. You know, he was just really sweet. You know, he doing a lot for Make-A-Wish at the time. And, you know, and I was really impressed with that. And, you know, he swept me off my feet. And there was a good John. I mean, there, like, if you read the book, there's several personalities I talk about. And there was the John who I married, and then the JD that he would turn into when the drinking started. Mainly the drinking is what all of these stories and all of these problems, they all go back to when he started the heavy drinking of whiskey again. And he actually told me when we got married, if I ever start drinking whiskey, just leave, because it is terrible. It's bad. You don't want to live through it. Just leave me if I start drinking whiskey. But, you know, I didn't want to leave him when I found out he was drinking whiskey, because his mom had passed away. And, you know, when you get married, especially my parents have been married 45 years, and it's for better or worse. And, you know, I would feel terrible to be married to him, and while he's winning, I'm there, and I'm accepting gifts, and we're living this great life. And then all of a sudden his mom dies. Oh, and Sherry just leaves. And so I just felt like that I should be there, you know, for him and to support him. And that's why, you know, I stayed even though he was drinking the whiskey, because I just wanted to fix things and stay married to him.
Yeah, you say there are a couple different distinct personalities of John Daly. John, the charmer who fell in love with, who you fell in love with. Johnny, the apologetic, remorseful, and emotional figure. And J.D., the destructive party animal. This multi-personalities, how did they change? We know that J.D. came out when he drank, but what about the other two? What dictated whether it was John or Johnny?
John was a nice guy that I married, and he was very, you know, he was having just a couple of beers at the time. And, of course, you know, no one knew it, but he would have a couple of beers, and everybody just kind of covered for it or put in a cup. He wasn't out of control with a couple of beers. But then after his mom died, the couple of beers turned into the whiskey and 40 or 60 beers, and that's when JD came out. And, you know, I don't want anyone to ever think that I lived in this life where John beat me up every day or something. Those incidents were usually about the first 5 years of our marriage, from 01 to 06. Those things happened usually about twice a year. I could count on when he did his charity event in Arkansas, because when he would get home, we would be on the tour. And by the way, the PGA Tour, it was wonderful. It was like a vacation when we would go on the tour, but then when we would come home, all the buddies would be there waiting with coolers of beer, and I knew that the first day would be a party. We might have fun. The second day, he would be drinking a whole lot, and by the third day, I knew there was going to be a disaster. The house get torn down. You know, when I say torn down, I mean the room that I saw in GQ magazine that was an example of what Charlie Sheen could see or do, or what he could tear up, that what John could do to a room, it made it look like someone accidentally spilt something. Like, he would tear every picture off the wall, jump over the refrigerator, throw all the groceries out, you know, break every big screen TV. It would be like a pile of glass when he got done. And so I knew that there would be a disaster coming. And so, you know, I had to prepare for that. It was usually twice a year up until about 06. And then after that, when he, when he started hanging out and he signed with Hooters and he was out drinking every week, even when we were on the tour, it wasn't our vacation anymore. It became, you know, disaster after disaster. The bus is getting torn up because he was just drinking so much. I think that probably started in about 07.
We only have a minute. We only have a minute.
The year before that, we were good.
Yeah, we have a minute before we have to break here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's
what you were telling me is the. That's when Johnny came out after JD destroyed everything. Then the reason I would stay, I know people wonder why, is because JD was so Johnny was so sorry about what JD did, and 3 or 4 months would pass by, or even longer, and everything would be okay. So that's why I would continue to think that maybe it won't happen again this time.
Hold on just a second, Sherry. We'll take a break. Again, Sherry Daly is with us. The name of her book is called Teed Off, My Life as a Player's Wife on the PGA Tour. We'll talk more about her life with John Daly and also about how she sees the PGA Tour. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.